This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Okay, welcome back in as we kick off the second hour here on this Thursday morning, Longshore and McKnight. It is the Budweiser Sports Line. We head up to Tuscaloosa. Our man Rodney Orr, he is the Tider Insider, joining us today. Hey, Rodney, how's it going? What's happening?
Well, it's a little chilly up here, John. I'm sure it is down there, too. It's been a little bit of a rough week, I would say.
It certainly has, and it's been nearly a full week since Alabama loses to LSU, and it has been dissected ad infinitum, but we haven't gotten your perspective on it. Looking back on it, give us a thought on that game, Rodney.
You know, when I look at that game and think about it, the only thing I can say is, I mean, to be honest with you, could Alabama have come out any more unprepared? And could LSU, frankly, have just played as smoothly as they did, any more smoothly, cleanly than they did? I mean, LSU looked like the polished team, and Alabama just, they were disjointed. How else can you put it in that first half?
What area specifically did you think they were unprepared, Roddy? Because I've heard that. You're not the first person that I've heard say that.
Well, I mean, just when you make so many mistakes at the beginning. Now, listen, on the Tua, as soon as he scrambled out on that first drive, you get started so well. You know, you make a few big plays. You kind of get the crowd into it. And you know, LSU's probably already got a little bit of, you know, that Alabama thing in their head. And then you turn the ball over. And as soon as he scrambled out, I knew it was trouble. Because you could tell just by watching him that he was indecisive a little bit. And understandably, because of that ankle. Then all of a sudden, you know, LSU goes 95 yards. I mean, what does that do for momentum? Then your punter drops the ball and gives him great field position. And then that on that possession for LSU, Alabama gets a big turnover with Trevon Diggs' interception, and you have 12 men on the field. I mean, in the first 8 minutes of the game, is there anything else that could go wrong? Just seemed unprepared. That's really the greatest way I could put it.
So ultimately now, after that win by LSU, what position does Alabama find themselves in now? Number five in the latest college football playoff poll, is that about right? Are you surprised? What?
No, I mean, I thought four or five would probably be where they would in that poll. You know, where they find themselves, frankly, if by Alabama standards, is in a hole. They've got to dig themselves out, and they've got to probably hope for a little bit of help. And, you know, they're going to have to create their opportunity with the way they respond. Any opportunity they get for the playoffs. I mean, again, yes, they've got to probably have a little bit of help. But it's going to be up to Alabama. It's going to be up to the coaching staff to get, you know, to get the attention of these players, which I'm sure they have this week. And it's going to be up to these players to see, you know, what do they have in them that they're going to have. They've got to finish this stretch run. Starts with Mississippi State this week, obviously, and then you have Western Carolina, and then going down for a really tough game against Auburn. So, you know, we'll see how much want to do they have, how much desire.
Can Alabama win against State and Auburn by 3 points, or do they need to win by 3 touchdowns? Do they need to get into the style point business to be a serious contender for the playoff?
Well, listen, this is what I think part of it hinges on, and that is that you can go to Mississippi State and play Mac Jones as your quarterback, and I don't think style points, you just have to get out with the win. Now, when you go to Auburn, I think, you know, Tua will probably be a lot more healthier. And, again, it's a rivalry. It's a team that beat Oregon. So I think if you beat Auburn at Auburn, regardless, it's a big win. I mean, I don't know how anybody else perceives it, But I think if Alabama goes to Auburn and beats Auburn, and Auburn's a pretty good team, they're a really good team defensively, that's a big win to me. That's a really big win.
Rodney Orr, TigerInsider.com. What's your take on Tua's health, his availability? What do you think about him?
I won't be surprised if Mac Jones starts this game Saturday. I would not have told you that 24 hours ago. In fact, I was on another show yesterday in North Alabama and kind of said, you know, I fully expect Tua to start, but now I won't be surprised if Mac plays this game. Again, a lot can change today. We'll see how practice goes, see how much Tua responds, but I won't be surprised if Mac Jones starts this game and plays this game.
Did Tua re-injure his ankle? I mean, we saw him limping off the field after the game. Didn't see it any other point in the game when he looked to be favoring that ankle. I just find that very interesting, how severe this injury is, or has it been re-injured? I just find that very interesting.
You know, John, I think at some point in the game, there was a play that maybe I don't really know the best way to put it, but not that he was re-injured, but, you know, there's pain there. There's going to be pain. And I think that they've examined it. The conclusion was there was no further damage or injury to him. Coach Saban even mentioned that on Monday. I think the soreness is something. And if you know, as a competitor, a guy you played, you and Barry played sports before, sometimes, you know, an injury, you can have it, and once you get going in a game, you don't feel the pain. Right. You really don't. And then afterwards, when everything sinks in, all of a sudden that pain becomes more obvious to you. So I think that was probably part of it. And it was, look, there's a lot of soreness. And I know that yesterday Coach Saban said a lot of that soreness had kind of subsided as of yesterday. So, you know, we'll see about his future. But I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Mac Jones started this game. I'm not saying he is, because I don't know, but I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me.
Let's put the LSU game to bed with this. I understand it was a big opportunity for recruiting this past weekend, obviously, at Bryant-Denny. I don't think the outcome of the game, of any game, when recruits are visiting, really impacts their decision. Although I did see some LSU players after the game go up to some of the Alabama prospective student-athletes and tell them, you know, that they should be going to LSU. But encapsulate what that weekend was like, what last weekend was like in terms of Alabama recruiting.
Well, they had one of the more impressive lists of visitors for a game I've ever seen for Alabama.
Wow.
They had several five stars. I think somebody said total, and it would not just be this class, but also, you know, future classes. I think somebody said they had 15 five-star players there, you know, at the game, and including perhaps the number one player in this class, Jordan Burch, defensive lineman out of South Carolina. You know, they're just trying to finish on a three or four players, you know, maybe they'll have a spot for a fifth player or something, but they're just trying to finish out this class. And I know that one of their top guys, Phillip Webb, was there out of Buford, Georgia. Now, listen, Alabama is loaded in this class with linebackers, and I mean high quality linebackers. And Phillip Webb is a high quality linebacker. They really probably are full at that spot, but this guy is so good that you could not want him and or take him. But I think he'll end up at LSU the way it looks right now. And Alabama really needs to finish with a tight end, which I think Darnell Washington was here, the five-star out of Las Vegas, so anything can happen there, although I still think Georgia Lee. But a name I would probably remember or keep in mind is J.J. or Jeremiah Pegues out of Oxford, Mississippi. He's a guy that I know that has been – extremely impressive, and I think Alabama has their sights on him pretty heavily right now. And then maybe another running back, which Jace McClellan, a five-star out of Aledo, Texas, committed to Oklahoma, was here. So we'll see there. They need a wide receiver, another wide receiver in this class, and a guy that, frankly, could bring some Henry Ruggs-type speed. Arian Smith from Lakeland, Florida, was here on a visit, had a really good visit. So they're in the mix with him. The defensive lineman, McKinley Jackson, from down in South Mississippi, was here for the second time this season, and he had a really good visit. So you almost, Barry, you know, John and Barry, you know how these things are. This recruiting now, it's almost like it's unpredictable because it's so competitive. So I really think, even though we're a month away, we're going to have to see how it plays out. Now, some of these guys are going to wait till February also. So it's just going to be a battle down the stretch.
What's the word around the basketball offices about the NCAA denying Javon Quinterly's eligibility?
Listen, the response, I think Greg Byrne made a pretty stern response to that. I think there were certainly some questions as to still out there among Alabama people, and Greg Byrne kind of expressed that was, you know, we really don't understand why. I mean, there was full cooperation. The facts were there, which I'm not really familiar with all the facts, so I couldn't get into that. But, you know, and I think even if you saw it, John and Barry, his mother went out there on Twitter.
I did see that.
Yeah, yeah, she was extremely upset about it.
Yeah.
So she had some things to say and said she would have some more things to say. Maybe she won't after she's maybe calmed down a little bit. But I know that there's a lot of disappointment that he wasn't cleared. And that is this situation aside, it is kind of crazy how they make these arbitrary, seemingly, decisions on who gets eligible and who doesn't. Or who's granted a waiver, I should say.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out what the difference is in some of those, and it's really, you know, it's hard to tell. One final thought, and somebody just texted me about it. Has there been anything schematically that Alabama has done differently to take better advantage of Najee Harris, or is he just kind of growing into that feature back role? What's the story with how well that he has played, certainly the LSU game, but lately, Rodney? Have you got a thought there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, you know, Najee has matured a lot, kind of the way he approaches the game. And what I mean by that is, I think, you know, since the kid was a sophomore in high school, he was the number one running back in the country, you know, with all the – and I think when he got here, he saw himself as a 225-pound scat back, you know, breaking big plays, you know, racking up big yards and all of those things. And I think now he's matured and learned, you know, you're on another level now. This isn't high school. And he's learned how to follow his, you know, as Coach Saban said one time here this year, you know, our running backs have to do a better job of kind of pressing the hole, you know, setting their blockers up. And, you know, there early on, if you remember, Najee was always trying to look for that big play. And he was running into defenders instead of setting them up. So I think that kind of coaching and developing him, he's just become much more effective. He's gained some confidence with some of the plays he's made, you know. So he's a good receiver, really good receiver, and he has done an excellent job of kind of adjusting his style, is the way I would probably put it.
Rodney Orr's the Tider Insider, joining us each and every Thursday during this time slot as Bama gets ready for Mississippi State on Saturday morning.
Give us information on how people can take advantage of all the information you provide on the website, Rodney.
Mm-hmm. TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card, or if you prefer, there's an address there to send a check. And, you know, it gives you access to our premium stuff, but also the forum where, it's just been nonstop.
Ooh, I can imagine.
I mean, the LSU week is, you know, and then this week. So it's really, like I said, it's really nonstop on TiderInsider.com. And your listeners there, John and Barry, they can go on the front page and watch Tider Insider TV. We think that's a really informative show. We've been doing it now for 20 years with Gary Harris, WVUA 23 here in Tuscaloosa.
Man, excellent Rodney, stuff. Yeah, it is fantastic. Really appreciate all of your insight and information. Appreciate your time. We'll talk next week.
No, hey, John Berry, I appreciate it. You guys take